Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, and, of course, William Ramo. Hey, what's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's going on? How's it going, everybody?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, and I'm hoping everybody listening is doing all right, too, and I hope everybody enjoyed their happy 4th of July on Thursday. And same to you as well, man.
Yep, hope you had a good one also, Will.
Thank you. And, you know, it's back to business as usual on Sports Urban Legend. You know, we're going to talk about the MLB, how the both New York teams are doing so far in the season as the All-Star break is, rapidly approaching. You know, we'll talk about the All-Star selections. We're going to talk about the NBA moves that happen in the postseason. The offseason, I should say. And, we're going to end it off with a little sports entertainment, a little WWE, a little TNA. And, of course, folks, you know the deal, guys. The number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. Feel free to talk sports, entertainment, and everything else. And with that, let's talk some baseball. And let's start with the All-Star selection.
Yep.
And on the Yankees side, well, we'll start with the American League since they're going to bat first.
Okay.
On the Yankees, of course, you have Robinson Cano.
Yep.
You know, he's going to be the starting second baseman, as you expect. Excuse me. And, of course, Mariano Rivera, in his last season as a major leaguer, he's going to be in his 13th and final All-Star game.
Yep.
And that should be, a magical, night for him.
His last All-Star game ever. It should be good.
Yep. Hopefully, you know, since I'm an NL guy, hopefully he comes in a non-safe situation and, he just pitches, in a game, the National League is, leading, so he doesn't have a save opportunity, but, the end of an era, so to speak.
Definitely.
Even though it's not, him at the All-Star game. Obviously, the end of the era is going to come in October, depending how far Yankees go into the postseason.
Yep, certainly.
And, of course, we're going to talk a lot about the Yankees in a few minutes. And, of course, on the Mets side, I guess we should give honorable mention to Chris Davis since this guy hit at least over 30 home runs.
Yeah. Starting first baseman for the American League.
Yeah, so congratulations to him. And, of course, Miguel Cabrera, man. This guy, it's these two guys that are, really, dominating baseball, especially in the American League side.
Yeah, he has a chance to win his second Triple Crown for the second year in a row.
Oh, yeah. And with that, let's switch over to the National League, my league, of course. And, of course, as expected, David Wright is going to appear in his seventh All-Star game. He's going to be starting again, which seemed like he hasn't started in forever, basically. Because Pablo Sandoval, last year he upset David Wright. And had the All-Star game, but, Sandoval's hurt. He was on the DL, basically. And I'm glad, the Mets fans came out to support him. And people over the nation, they saw that the guy was deserving. And plus, this is his home stadium. You got to have him represent the team.
Yep. And David Wright's former teammate, Carlos Beltran, is going to be joining him.
Oh, yeah.
In the outfield.
Yeah, I think Beltran was there last year, too.
Yeah.
And, of course, Matt Harvey, he's making his first appearance in the All-Star game. Very excited about that. The guy, he's up until recently, he led the National League in all the major categories.
Definitely pitching, and he's going to start the All-Star game.
Is that official?
He should be.
No,
he said something like that.
I know he's most likely will. As soon as I don't know if Terry Collins officially changed the, announced when Harvey's going to pitch today. When he's going to pitch, because he's scheduled to pitch on Sunday. So as of right now, I haven't checked to see if Terry Collins made an announcement that he's going to switch, when he's going to pitch, which, obviously he will because, there's a new rule. I think they might have started last year that if you pitch on Sunday, the Sunday, which is 2 days before the All-Star game, which is usually on a Tuesday, I think it's still on a Tuesday, this one, the next one coming up, right?
I think so, yeah.
So, basically, there's a new rule. You can't pitch the Sunday before the All-Star game.
That's
so, Terry Collins is most likely going to shift the lineup, because it's not only for important for baseball, but especially for the Mets. You know, this guy, you know, this guy is, you know, the MVP of the Mets this year. And he's arguably the best pitcher last year. And, I mean, I should say this year. And, you know, he deserves to start. And, you know, I think he will, you know.
I think he should too, man. I think he should start the All-Star game.
Absolutely. I think that Bochy is going to make the right decision, you know.
Yeah.
Unlike Tony La Russa last year when it came to R.A. Dickey.
Well, Tony La Russa doesn't like the Mets, so.
I think he forgot 2006. He eliminated us to go to the World Series. I think he must think it's the other way around, but I don't know. Well, that's, you know, that's Tony La Russa's problem. But in any case, you know, congratulations to Matt Harvey, you know, getting his first ever, you know, All-Star selection in his first full season, I guess you could say technically his second year.
Yep.
Since he had a little cup of coffee last year. So, you know, hopefully, you know, many more for Matt Harvey.
Yep. To a great career, hopefully.
Hopefully. And with that, yeah, let's talk a little Mets. Mets, you know, after they had a great road trip recently, this past series, you know, they won 2 out of 3 to the Brewers. Man, the Brewers is one of the worst defensive teams I've ever seen in my life, man. The plays that they were, especially Friday and today, I mean, they should have been sent back to the little leagues. The balls that they throw the balls away. I mean, it's ridiculous.
This is why they are where they are.
Absolutely. Wheeler on Friday night, you know, he got his second win. You know, like I was telling you, basically before the game, Terry Collins was telling the media that, you know, that Wheeler should throw more, is going to throw significantly more fastballs on Friday night, which he obviously did. He probably only threw 20 pitches that were, you know, breaking pitches.
Wow, that's interesting.
And in my point is, why would a manager tell the media, which in essence telling the opposition what pitches your young pitcher or any pitcher for that matter is throwing before the game even starts?
Yeah, that's very strange.
That seems kind of stupid, because it's like you know, telling a pitcher, telling the opposition, hey, I'm gonna throw fastballs all these times. I'm gonna throw right down the middle. Get ready for it. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yep.
I mean, come on. It's like the equivalent to me of, you know, talking smack to a team before you face them.
Yeah, I don't get that.
If you motivate a team by telling them what you're gonna do beforehand, and also, or, you know, talking smack up to the team, you're going to make them more alert than they usually would be.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, Wheeler wasn't sharp on, you know, on Friday, but, you know, he, thankfully for the, you know, the Brewers making a bunch of errors, and, you know, Mets got some timely hits, and, you know, Wheeler at times, you know, in that game, he got out of, you know, bases loaded jams and stuff like that, throwing 20 pitches practically every inning. You know, he muscled his way out of those innings.
Yeah. Wow.
So I mean, that was encouraging, but his outing ever since his last start, his first start, you know, his debut. I mean, he hasn't been as advertised so far, but I mean, you know, he's a young guy. You know, he's trying to find his way into the big league. So,
right,
you know, time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, as he goes along, as he'll develop and he'll adjust and he'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be able to control his command a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully he'll be a good pitcher, just like his boy Harvey.
Yep, and I think that's the problem with Harvey. You know, Harvey spoiled the Mets fans. You know, thinking, I mean, normally guys, you know, especially look at Sandy Koufax when he was with the Dodgers. I mean, most times, you know, there's a growing period. You know, this is an adjustment
to
getting out of a trip. You know, the minor leagues. You know, and then you come to the big leagues. There's a learning curve. You know, you're going to get roughed up at times.
Right, right.
But Harvey, as soon as he came out, he's like on a Hall of Fame. What you gonna call it? The way how he's pitching, he's pitching like a Hall of Famer. I mean, obviously he's, you know, I mean, you know, he doesn't have the numbers. He's, you know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he has a long way to go. But I mean, the way how he's pitching so far, I mean, he doesn't only keep the team in, you know, the Mets in games. I mean, he's just straight out dominates teams at most times.
Exactly.
But his last start this week, he started off strong, but then I think in the sixth inning, you know, he gave up a three-run home run. I'm trying to remember what team it was. Cody Ross. What team was Cody Ross on?
Cody Ross?
Padres.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mets split the series with Padres. So basically, you know, Matt Harvey, he was dominating the team for the first six innings until, you know, Cody Ross, you know, hits a two-run home run, I think, with two outs in the sixth. And then he came into the seventh, he didn't get anybody out. So then they went to the bullpen, and then they gave up some of the, you know, probably two more runs, you know, was charged to him. If my memory served me right, and I think, was that the game we won extra innings, or did we just lose that game in the night? Because I don't know if you noticed, a lot lately, Mets have been going, having a lot of extra inning games.
Yeah, close games lately.
Yeah.
Which is not bad.
Well, I mean,
then again, offense has to score more.
Yeah, there was one game that Mets, basically, you know, they came back, they were losing. I think they scored in the seventh, they scored in the eighth, and they scored in the ninth, I think, to tie the game. And then afterwards, in the 14th, the other team took the lead, then we tied it. And then I think in the 15th, we took the lead, and then they tied it again. And then the other team, like, scored two runs in the other inning, and then we scored one. I mean, we've played a lot of games, you know. Extra inning games. I mean, you know, I mean, we've been competitive, but, you know, and we've been playing a lot better recently, but.
Right.
You know, gotta
blow up the opponent.
Exactly.
The team's gotta, offense has to produce more, score more runs. That way you don't have to play these close games.
Yeah. I think it was Friday night when they scored 12-5. I can't remember. But this was a game recently when we blew out a team.
Wow.
But it's very rare. But today, Jeremy Hefner, ever since, you know, him and G were basically going to be sent to the bullpen when Wheeler was getting called up. Ever since then, both guys have been pitching, you know, beautifully for the most part.
Right.
And what was I going to say? Hefner, man, the guy who I thought would have been sent down, he's been lights out, especially today. He pitched, seven innings, struck out eight, only gave up a home run to LaCroix. And Mets basically won their first game. The first game they scored, this is the first game they won in, like, over 3 years, in which they didn't score an earned run.
Wow.
And they won by the final score of 2-1. So they won the rubber game of the Brewer series, and they basically bounced back from the 7-6 loss that they had yesterday.
Yeah.
And you know, Mets just gotta, you know, keep it, you know, keep, you know, being competitive, and hopefully Sandy Alderson will, you know, make some trades to, you know, hopefully plan for you know, hopefully a strong second half. You know, Mets, you know, this is obviously not a winning season, but hopefully they'll start the building blocks in order for them to have a winning season for next year and beyond.
Well, technically, they're not out of it yet.
Well, yeah, obviously, but they're like
wild card.
Like 10 games under.
Right. Well, the division, you can forget the division.
Yeah.
But wild card, you can still in there.
Yeah, but to me, in order for them to be in it, they gotta be at least 500
right.
for them to be, you know, even thinking about wild card.
Right. Right.
But hey, you gotta believe. Who knows? But switching over to the Yankees, your Yankees fell to the Orioles by the same score as the Mets one, 2-1, and in dramatic fashion. I'll leave it to you to give everybody a little summary of what's going on with the Yankees.
Yeah, Yankees were playing great entering today. You know, they had won 6 in a row. They swept the Twins, who they always beat.
Mm-hmm.
They won the first 2 games of the series against the Orioles. And enter today, we wanted to win this game so we could sweep the Orioles, give them a little payback for sweeping us last weekend. You know, but fortunately, we were unable to do so because we were leading the game 1-0 throughout. Kuroda, he's been our best pitcher this year, and he's been pitching great. And he carried us into the 9th inning with a 1-0 lead. And Mariano comes in, greatest closer of all time.
Into the Sandman.
And you could tell he did not have it today. Nick Markakis,
mm-hmm.
the right fielder for the Orioles, he missed hitting a home run to right field. The ball went foul. So right then and there, I said, hey, Mariano, that was almost a home run, so he's got to watch out.
Then he said, I'm sorry, Macaulay.
Well, unfortunately, he wasn't sorry after that because he gave up a hit to Nick Markakis. And then after that, Adam Jones came up, and Adam Jones crushed a 2-run home run shot in the left field seat. And Orioles went up 2-1, and they ended up winning this game by the final score of 2-1, and they salvaged the final game of the series. So even though we won the series, I really wanted to sweep them, but it didn't happen. And Mariano gets his second blown save of the season.
Yep. And what did he get that last blown save from? I don't remember.
The one before this was against the Mets.
Oh, you're talking about the one Lucas Duda got that walk-off hit.
Very funny.
Okay. All right, I'll stop. I'll behave.
You guys are always celebrating for little meaningless things. I mean, come on. Just one save and you're celebrating for that? Please. Highlights of the Mets season.
I'll take it. At least he didn't walk out with 2 wins in his final Subway Series games against the Mets, so I'm glad about that.
Yeah. Well, when games matter the most, Mariano's clutch. So.
Yeah. All joking aside, you know, he has a great career. I mean, there's nothing, you know, it happens to everybody. It's a tough job.
Yeah.
To him, he makes it seem like it's easy.
I mean, I would love to see him pitch maybe 2 more seasons, but don't think this is going to happen. So.
Yeah, you know, let him go out on top. Let him go out the way you remember him, you know?
Yeah.
He's pitching great this year.
Ben Robertson Robinson's probably going to be the closer. Robinson's, he's a great pitcher. Looks like he could do well.
Oh, absolutely. And there's rumors that Jabba might get traded.
Well, Jabba has not looked the same for years now, and I wouldn't mind. If we could get something back, good, something that, you know, a player or a pitcher that's really good in return, I don't mind it.
Yeah, I know, but it's just kind of sad. I mean, like, 07, 08, I mean, this guy was like, Jabba rules, man. It was like this guy was the one that was gonna be the next, you know, big thing for the Yankees coming out of the pen, and then they just played around with him and bring up, you know, they use him like a yo-yo, bring him to the you know, into the rotation, back into the bullpen, back and forth, and just messed him up. He hasn't been the same ever since then.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination. Yankees, ABBA. I mean, there's no excuse for it, you know.
Yeah.
As a pitcher, you get paid to pitch. You pitch regardless, you know.
Right.
And he's not, several of the last several years, he's not been pitching. He's not been, he's been very inconsistent, so.
Yeah, he hasn't been. Yeah, I mean, you got to make a baseball decision. You can't, you know, if you're trying to improve the team, you can't always just, you know, think of, you know, you gotta make trades with your brain, not with your heart, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he's out of shape. He's been on injured list. I mean, there's no excuse for that.
Yeah, that's true.
He's had the DUI incidents, you know.
Yeah.
So, there's no excuse.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But if we can get someone back in return, a pitcher that's really good, I mean, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah. You gotta improve the team any way you can.
Yeah.
And, the NBA, the bigger news, obviously, you know, the Knicks re-sign, J.R. Smith and Prigioni. So those guys are back. Excited about that. You know, we need those guys, to try to go back to the playoffs and go even farther.
Yeah.
But, and of course, you know, the Knicks also recently got Bargnani, you know, from Toronto. You know, he's a good three-point shooter.
Not the Met player, by the way.
What happened?
Not the Met player, Bargnani. Toronto.
Bargnani. Bargnani. Yeah, Andrea Bargnani. Yeah, he's a good three-point shooter, you know, but he doesn't play any defense. You know, he was obviously the first overall draft pick for Toronto, like, what was it, 07, I believe?
Yeah.
And he hasn't panned out. You know, he showed flashes of, you know, being a scorer. But
the last couple of years, he's been injured, so, you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but he's got to play better defense.
Yeah, he definitely needs. Yeah, if he could, you know, increase on his rebounding. I mean, he averaged what, like under 5 rebounds last year.
Yeah.
So you know he needs to improve on that and just, you know, hustle. He'll be a fan favorite. You know, in at the Garden.
Yep.
And hopefully they could re-sign, Kenyon Martin. I don't think Brand is gonna come here. You know, because apparently he might be out of the Knicks' price range.
Yeah.
And
you get Kenyon Martin.
Yeah, I mean that guy. You know, that dude was a monster. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you saw shades of his, Fugazi Nets days. You know, when he was just dominating the city when the Nets, you know, were the best team in town.
Yeah.
And the other big news in Nick land is, of course, Copeland, the rookie sensation, you know, off the bench and occasionally start. Copeland, you know, who's a great scorer, underappreciated defender. You know, he basically, you know, folded in, and you know, basically he. You know, he tucked his tail between his legs and basically went to the team who eliminated him in the postseason, which is of course the Pacers.
Right.
And basically he had 6 million reasons to, you know, hey, if you can't beat them, join them. And
I mean,
I guess
there's no way the Knicks could match.
Yeah, that's messed up. But you know the. Through his point of view, even though I don't like that he basically went to the enemy that eliminated us. But you know, in his case, you know this guy's a rookie. You know, he's bounced around the European League. He actually has a, you know, this is, you know, this might be his biggest payday ever.
Yeah.
You know, if he doesn't, you know, improve. So in that case, I guess I could say good luck a little bit with an asterisk. But it's sad to see him go. You know, I thought he should have stayed, but, you know, you got to do what's best for him and his family.
I mean, I wanted him to come back too, but, I mean, yeah, I mean, he needs, it's for the money, so.
What else? And speaking of which, yep.
It's farewell.
And speaking of which, but the even bigger news than that is obviously Dwight Howard, the guy a few years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, he was the media darling of the NBA. Now he's, you know, basically, you know, not very beloved in Orlando and in Los Angeles or anywhere, basically, except for Houston, where he signs to be the new center of the Houston Rockets.
Yep, he's behind the Lakers. You know, and there was rumors that Kobe unfollowed him on Twitter and
posted
an Instagram pic of him and Gasol.
Yep. So, you know, you can see Kobe's moving on. And Dwight Howard is going to basically bring them back to prominence to the, you know, the Olajuwon days, which, of course, you know, us Knicks fans remember very well.
Yep.
So, basically, you know, Howard, I mean, this has been a weird off season. I mean, I know money has been involved with these stuff, but who would have thought in a million years that a Celtic head coach would leave the Celtics to go to the Clippers?
Yeah.
I mean, back in the, if you would have told me 10 years ago this would happen, I mean, no one would have believed it. But obviously, you know, Clippers are on the rise, and of course, obviously, Celtics is basically no more, except for Rondo. And then you got someone leaving the Lakers, you know, a great center, not getting traded to the Lakers or signing as a Laker as a free agent, but actually leaving the Lakers.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, that doesn't happen either.
Yeah, it's been a very strange week in NBA.
It has been. It definitely has been a weird offseason for sure. And let's see. Lastly, let's see what happened in
WWE.
WWE. I'm trying to remember what happened.
What happened again?
Del Rio fought CM Punk.
Oh yeah.
Was that either Friday or Saturday?
Monday.
Was SmackDown. No, actually, that was SmackDown, I think.
Oh, right.
Cena fought Del Rio on Raw.
Right.
Yeah, if I remember something right, I think they were both good matches.
They were. They were the Monday Night Raw match between
Cena and Del Rio. They were billing it as champion versus champion because
yeah,
obviously they're both champions.
Right.
And, you know, it was a good match, and I like that they showed, you know, some of the greatest, you know, champions, you know, who held the title. And most notably, they showed Sting, which made people think, hey, maybe the WWE is trying to, you know, send a message out to Sting, you know, that they're, you know, still interested in him or something.
Yeah. Talking about Raw, I think they're giving them a Raw replay on Mundo. Might watch that again.
That's good.
But yeah, it was a good Raw. I liked it. And like the confrontation backstage with Ziggler. Well, actually, they showed what happened after Raw. Ziggler confronting AJ about her being mean to Caitlyn. I thought that was like out of character for Ziggler to do.
Oh, I miss that. But then again, you know, Ziggler is a good guy now, so, you know, all the stuff that he used to do, you know, he's condemning it now.
Because
they're
funny.
Basically, I guess, slowly trying to, you know, make them break up because, as you can see, just like CM Punk doesn't come out with Paul Heyman, now
yeah.
Ziggler's by himself, even though he's technically, he hasn't officially broken up with AJ or Big E, but you don't see him going out with them, you know,
right.
Coming into the ring with them, so... So basically,
yeah.
That's something to be watched.
It's just Ziggler and Big E together all the time.
Yep. And something that's going to be interesting is the Bray Wyatt, the Wyatt family. They're going to finally debut on Monday.
Finally.
I know, it's about time.
After the movie trailers.
Yeah. We're having movie trailers all the time. It's gonna be. Are they gonna come into the ring with lamb mask or something? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. That's gonna be funny.
Yeah, it should be a, you know, interesting Raw. See what goes down. Ricardo Rodriguez got suspended for taking allegedly fat burners. So basically, Alberto Del Rio's his heelness is gonna take a push because Ricardo Rodriguez is basically putting Alberto Del Rio to trial. Title. So now, Raven's gonna face Bubba Ray.
Yeah, well, I mean, I.